These are donut shaped, no equals smoltering, about 125 feet, 40 meters outside diameter, with a hole about 25 feet, 8 meters, in diameter, and about 30 feet, 10 meter thick. They are sometimes referred to as flying laboratories, because of the large amount of test equipment which they carry. They are an observation craft, and used only when very involved technical observations are required. Normal crew, 50, electromagnetic drive. 2. Taunton class. Cigar, shaped, about 100 feet, 33 meters, long by 25 feet, 8 meters, maximum diameter. Primarily an escort and fighter craft. Used only if circumstances require protection for the other craft. Normal crew, 20, uses both jet and primary drive. 3. Fkl type. Spherical, about 100 feet, 33 meters, in diameter. A transport craft, used to carry both passengers and cargo. Normal crew, 25 or 30. Electro, magnetic drive. 4. Alan type. Crescent or rubber heel shaped, about 45 feet across by 18 feet, 6 meters, thick. Reconnaissance craft. Normal crew. Uses jet drive, one jet being placed in a universal mounting at each of the points of the crescent. Control is by changing the direction of these jets. No external control surface is being used. This is a very ancient type of flyer, but well suited to the requirements of the present task and, therefore, the type most frequently seen. 5. Wallowner type. Similar in shape and construction to the Zeroland type, but much smaller, being only about 14 feet across, less than 5 meters. A single place flyer, but can carry two when required. 6. Pomid type. Spherical, about 5 or 6 feet in diameter. Robot and remote control from some other craft. Used for visual observation where larger craft would attract too much attention. Electro, magnetic drive. 7. Pomida type. A smaller version of the pomid, being only about 1 foot in diameter. Frequently mistaken for a fireball. 21. Aside from the Vikner craft described, various other types are seen at very infrequent intervals. Some groups on your planet and plane have found and reactivated very ancient flyers which were left here by the old elder races. These are mostly predecessors of the Zeroland class. Visitors from other solar systems occasionally come to this one for various purposes. If their purpose is not malicious, they are permitted to proceed. Otherwise, they are usually intercepted and turned back in the outer limits of this solar system. 22. The craft most deserving of the name Flying Saucers were brought to this planet in 1949 by a midget race from your moon sea. These were slightly less than 100 feet in diameter, but much of this area was aero-dynamic surface. The actual cabin being only about 16 feet in diameter. They used an electromagnetic, or earth induction drive, but different in construction than that used by the Nor craft. It was their first interplanetary flight, and their purpose was peaceable exploration. They became stranded here, without base or supervisory control, when the carrier craft became disabled. The small flyers were unable to return to Luna, because they were incapable of space flight. 23. One of the lunar flyers was shot down over northern Mexico by the over-anxious pilot of a Nor patrol craft, when it failed to respond to signals, or otherwise identify itself. Several others were caused to crash by radar, to which they were particularly susceptible because of insufficient shielding of their drive and control apparatus. As soon as it became apparent that the return of their carrier would be indefinitely delayed, and that the craft and pilots were unable to cope with conditions on this planet, they were rounded up and returned to Luna by a Vikner carrier. Of the original 37 flyers, 26 were safely returned to their home base. 8 are known to have crashed. It is assumed that the remaining 3 went down unnoticed. Note A. The word material is used as a matter of convenience to indicate your particular vibrational plane. It is, of course, technically incorrect, since all other planes are also material, usually more so than this one, but merely on a different frequency. Note B. The class names of the various craft listed are the nearest English spellings of the actual phonetic names. Note C. The atmosphere and water on Luna and, consequently, the life, is mainly concentrated on the far side, which is never seen from your planet. The condition is analogous to a bucket of water being whirled at the end of a rope, with the water being held at the far end by the action of centrifugal force. Expeditions have come to the near side to attempt to signal Earth on several occasions. In several instances the signals were seen by your astronomers, but were ignored because of their firm belief that Luna was lifeless. Rolf Tel Arno. Note, the intermediary or receiver of the foregoing material, Rolf Tel Arno, is an electronics engineer by profession and a resident of the Middle West. He has never publicized or exploited his psychic gifts. The above material was received by a kind of inner dictation or clairaudience, with partial control of the hands on the typewriter. I have found no reason, during my near decade of contact with him, to question his integrity or the authentic nature of the psychism involved. ML, comments of Yada Dishiite. Mark Probert Trance Control Medium. On January 24, 1952, the document received through Rolf Tel Arno, and printed on preceding pages, was read to the Tibetan control, Yada Dishiite, Mark Probert being in deep trance at the time. The object, of course, was to obtain the comments, either pro or contra, of this highly respected communicator, with whom we have been in almost weekly contact for nearly 5 years. Since there has always been a basic agreement among the 15 communicators of this group, we feel reasonably certain that statements by the Yada have the support of other members of the group as well. We quote the substance of his comments only. Comment by the Yada, I see no reason why this communication from your associate known as Rolf Tel Arno should not be made public, since a few will profit by it and others will not be harmed. It should, however, be presented with the utmost circumspection. First of all, your readers should bear in mind that the situation and events with which the RT communication deals are highly complex and relate not only to your planet, but in various ways to the entire solar system. Precise and exact statements concerning matters of such magnitude are almost impossible and should be taken with reserve, not as being wrong, but as necessarily inadequate. Approaching with this attitude of mind, I find no serious errors in the document you have read to me. Footnotes. Concerning the Etherikutlans and Lemurians, both of whom formerly dwelt on your planet and are now on the etheric counterpart of your planet. Do not take this as implying that entire races enter the etheric directly after leaving Earth life. But many individuals can and do enter the etheric worlds, according to their personal status and destiny. The statement about the etheric gnaws is correct, again with reference to a group. I have no knowledge of any construction work in the caverns or of any craft issuing from that source. The data about the carrier craft is essentially correct. And the reconversion mentioned, of these craft, to the vibrational level of your plane, is one important cause of the explosions in the atmosphere and ethers. The expression, heavily armed, should not be taken as meaning, against yourselves. Yes. It is true that there is something like a policing of your planet and of the entire solar system. Yes, the statement about guardian races, their purposes, duties, and so on. 1-9 is essentially correct. Your visitors truly wish you well and desire to help and protect you. Ref.2 item 13-15. Is it wise to meet them with fear and with hostility? Well, 27,000 miles an hour is not very fast. Note, that this speed refers to our vibrational level, not to crossing interplanetary distances, which is accomplished by other means. Concerning the moon, etc., there is no race which permanently inhabits the moon. But the moon has been used for ages on its dark side as a meeting ground, for scientific work, and for many meetings of occult or secret orders. Yes. Signals have been sent to your Earth from the Moon. The incidents described accidents to the lunar flight, the help by the Vikna carrier, etc. actually occurred. The huge craft called Carita Fall of 1946, over San Diego, came from the moon. The following additional material has been received subsequent to the comments by the Yarda just quoted. It was given to associate Rolf Tellano, and is by way of reply to inquiries sent him by the BSR director. The communicator is Borealis, Tellano, and she begins by telling her Earth friend that, quote, "These matters are much too complicated to be dealt with on a part-time basis. You had best stick to your own job and not bother your head too much with such affairs." Borealis, Tellano. A. The words planes, Earthians, Etherians, and so on, are rather ill-advised, although they are occasionally used as a matter of convenience. In the minds of most people, however, they build up too much of a picture of definite places, with fixed boundaries and perhaps even a customs and immigration service. B. All planes are actually one. There is merely a continuously increasing vibrational frequency, beginning with the sub-physical and rising through the physical, astral, and etheric to the final and original source. Entities simply gravitate to some particular height on the scale, according to their individual desires and mental abilities. The lower ranges, from and to which the dwellers successively incarnate and discarnate to and from the physical, are usually called the astral planes. The upper ranges, where such return to the lower physical is rare, are commonly referred to as the etherics. All divisions are arbitrary. None can say where the upper astral stops and the lower etheric begins. All names and designations are artificial inventions, and have only as much meaning as the individual user assigns to them. C. All entities on all planes were probably on the physical of some planet or other, at some time, though it may have been countless eons ago in some cases. Therefore, all are probably former Earthians in the strict technical sense. The higher one rises on the vibrational scale, the thinner becomes the cord which binds them to earthy or physical things. Eventually they reach a point where all connection with the physical is, for all practical purposes, broken. Their thoughts and interests are along entirely different lines, and they have no desire to return to the physical. There is no actual reason why they could not return, if they wished to do so, and there have been cases where some have done so. Perhaps after a few millions or billions of years one can become bored even on heaven. D. The particular group which dictated the flying saucer report dwelt on the etheric, but not on the highest levels. The number who incarnate to the physical is very small as compared to the total, and even these volunteer for such incarnation mainly from a sense of obligation rather than any personal preference. Their sole motive is to aid the Adamic races of your planet and plane. They can, to a certain degree, function by merely materializing, or converting to the frequency of your plane. Such requires constant mental effort to maintain the proper vibrational frequency, however, and hampers effective total thought to that degree. Therefore, a certain number are actually incarnated into Earth, born physical bodies, and live out a normal lifetime. E. Aside from their obligations under certain cosmic laws, the groups are tied to the Adamic races by the fact that they created them, and are therefore particularly responsible for them. When these groups first came to the physical plane of your planet, they found that their physical bodies were not entirely to its environment. In an effort to improve the situation, they began, by selective breeding and cross-breeding, to develop a better adapted physical body. The final choice was the ancestor race of the present Adamic races, which was a cross between the elder races themselves and a certain man-like animal native to your planet. This ancestor animal is now extinct. During experimentation, these physical forms were inhabited by the Qis spirits of some of the lower ones among the elder races, and certain animal life forms. This is not recognized by your theologies, but every living thing is a Qi, what you would call 11 soul 11 or 11 spirit 11, and these Qis differ only in the degree of their advancement. They can and do evolve in successive incarnations, and canons do ultimately inhabit physical bodies of human form. It would not be advisable to publicize this statement as it would create too much opposition at present. F. The intention to incarnate into the bodies of the Adams was abandoned long before they had been developed to a satisfactory point, because the elder races had in the meantime learned how to advance themselves to a more suitable vibrational level. The Adams were left behind in their imperfect state, but the members of the former parent races still recognize a special obligation to aid them in their development. End of dictation by Borealis Tellano. Link to more. On the evening of February 4, 1952, the BSR director made inquiry of the trance control, Lo Sun Yat, a Tibetan, speaking through the mediumship of Mark Probert. The questions referred chiefly to the subject matter of paragraphs C and D above, and the substance of the replies was as follows. Lo Sun Yat, yes, there are such guardian races, and their responsibility stems from the facts described. This cross-breeding actually took place in the dim past, but the race resulting from this union came to an end with Lemuria. The man, like animal native to your planet, was originally created by the etheric colonizers. The cross was not a true ancestor race, it was a kind of ancestral pattern resembling men in form. Man originated from a later experiment. In one of their experiments to become one with the material world, some forms that were made resembled the anthropoid apes. Yes, there was actual mating between the Aetherians and these earth animals. Sons of God mating with daughters of men. A fine rhetorical statement, but not a pretty thing by any means, if you could only see what they looked like. About the Qis, these are the servient spirits of Johanna. Yes, they are a kind of fragmentation of a human entity. The higher mind may for various reasons leave the low self in control of the body. Many Qis are now in human bodies. Very many indeed in Asia, Africa, India. They possess animal instincts only. Those who seem to have no aura possess the chemical, radiation aura only. One may say that the Qis are the lower or the lowest part of the mind. They are a dissociated part. Yes, certainly, there are races of etheric people who are not excarnate humans and have never lived on Earth. Some of the disks and other sky craft are truly operated by excarnate Earth people, but some are operated by the true Aetherians. They will be in your skies until there is no more threat of world war. I do not want to appear to speak for them, but if they have to attack, it may well be by great sheets of flame out of the sky and by great concussions. Inserted comment for audiobook, last word can be interpreted as a violent shock as from a heavy blow. End of comment. Your globe is like an atom in the cosmos, but every atom has its contacts, its effects. Perhaps you must be protected from yourselves, and perhaps the solar system must be protected from you. End of communication by Lo Sun Yat. Concerning the Rolf Tellano communications, a corrective memorandum, by Rolf Tellano and the communicators. Some of the most remarkable and instructive material we have ever received concerning the airforms and the entities using them, has come via our associate Rolf Tellano. RT is a qualified technician or engineer in radio, electronics, and has never employed his psychic gifts for profit or in a public manner. In October 1952, he sent us material from which we compiled an 11-page brochure which had a third printing in January 1954. The prefatory page to this states that the principal thesis was that the disc-shaped craft are operated by excarnate humans, now living on the etheric Venus, not on the astral. The trance control, Yardadiche, advised us that the brochure could be released, but with the utmost circumspection. He added that the subject was so complex that any information received by us would be inadequate, though not necessarily wrong. Later, in August 1952, he stated that none of the discs were operated by excarnate humans. He did not impugn the veracity of Rolf Tellano, but felt that there was a misunderstanding somewhere. This acute insight on the part of the Yarda has now been substantiated by the Rolf Tellano communicators themselves, as the following documents bears witness. The whole episode is instructive and profitable, and we are greatly indebted to the etheric communicators, to the inner circle of the MP controls, and to our associate Rolf Tellano, whose singular gifts and painstaking accuracy have made this information available. Note, release brochure is still available at BSR headquarters. It contains 6 pages from the etheric communicators, comments by the Yarda, a letter from Rolf Tellano, a further note on humans in Etheria, a letter from Borealis Tellano, and a short commentary by the MP control Lo Sun Yat. 12 pages. Link, excerpts from letter, association, Rolf Tellano to the BSR director, 1954, regarding the excarnate humans. It would now appear that they did not describe themselves as such but, rather, that I so described them, and that the description is in error. This was partially due to misunderstanding on my part, and partially due to my incorrect use of certain words in my article. The corrected version is as follows: they did not originate on Earth, or on any planet with a similar vibrational level. They have always been high plane dwellers. They have never used the word Etheria in any communication, although I assumed, and still assume, that the place they describe is what you term Etheria. Their own name for their dwelling place has always been Heavy. Heavy, like our heavy, means dense. N is the abbreviation of a source concept. The free translation into English would be, a place of great density, from which we originated. Since great density would also be high vibrational frequency, it would seem to me that this would be Etheria, or something very close to it. It seems that the same places and planes have several different names in some cases. They came to Earth before there were any native Earthlings on it. In fact, they came for the purpose of bringing life, including human, to Earth, and guiding it until it was able to shift for itself. To do this, they had to bring themselves to the Earth, plane level. I regarded this as incarnating, but they have since corrected me, and said that it was not an incarnation as the word is used here, since they did not enter Earth, born bodies. Their bodies were the same high, plane bodies which they had always had, only converted down to this level for the time being, much as is done with the aeriforms, so-called UFOs, at present. The time being, as I understand it, was several thousand years, which is a long time to us, but only a brief interlude in their time, concept. There were a few cases where some of their number actually left their high, plane bodies for a time, and entered Earth, born bodies. These were the surface observers, who lived among the Earthlings. It seems that it is more difficult for an isolated individual to maintain himself on this level than it is for a group. He must constantly exert mental power to keep tuned in, which diverts considerable mental power away from other uses. In these cases it was formerly the custom to actually incarnate these few. However, they point out that this did not make him an Earthling. The material body is not the individual, and the real entity who was temporarily wearing the body would still be a high, plane dweller, and would return to a high, plane body upon his return. As I said, this was occasionally done formerly. In comparatively recent times, recent again in their time concept, they have constructed a mechanism at their lunar base which transmits a simulated mental ray, which they call the master pulse wave. This is the proper frequency to convert them to this level or plane. All the aeriforms, and surface observers, have a simple mechanism which will enable them to lock into synchronism with the master pulse. This will automatically keep them at this vibrational level without any further thought on their part. They can, at any desired time, cut out the mechanism, and assume mental control over their vibrational level. My contacts corrected me on this point some time ago, but since it required a rather lengthy explanation, and I was rather busy, I did not pass it along. As a matter of fact, I regarded it as a very minor point. Recently, however, I have received some correspondence from people who seem to feel that this is a basic difference, and that it impugns the BSR Etherian hypothesis, so I haste to pass it along. As I see it, the corrected explanation is quite compatible, and would tend to confirm the Etherian hypothesis, rather than attack it. To sum up, They regard themselves as humans, but apparently in a much broader sense than it is ordinarily used, because they were never Earthians, but have always been high, plane dwellers. To them, a human is a being on any plane who employs a thinking and reasoning process similar to our own. They have also pointed out to me recently that their appearance, in most cases, is not a materialization and dematerialization, in their definition of the words. They regard materialization as creating matter from pure energy. Teleportation does actually employ a dematerialization, materialization process, but they regard your term of emergence as more correctly describing the process in ordinary cases. That is, they are there, all the time, they are quite solid all the time, to themselves. They described it with a quite simple analogy, which might be of some use to you in describing it to others. If you travel from New York to Washington, your reality has ceased to exist, so far as the New York range of perception is concerned. Yet, you are the same you as you have always been, and you are quite real to yourself, and to anyone else on the Washington range of perception. It is exactly the same with the aeroforms, except that, instead of traveling on the horizontal surface, they are traveling up and down the vibrational scale. Since they have a much wider range of perception than we, it is possible for them to raise their level just slightly above the upper limit of our range, but still stay within their range. Thus they can observe without being observed, if desired. The aeroforms over Washington, which went out of visual sight, but remained within sight of the radar, was an example of this. The radar has a much higher range than our eyes. I would assume that these relatively slow mutations which some have observed might be some aeroform occupant sort of fishing around for this marginal level. Signed, Associate, R.T., the mimeographed publications of the BSRA during the last 10 years have carried a large amount of material relevant to the nature of the aeroforms, so-called UFOs, and to the concepts of the ether and of space, time involved in the phenomena. The more technical essays are of small interest to the public and are not presented here, but I have ventured to reprint a number of short articles of a more popular type. A good deal of indirect repetition is involved in doing this, as is also true of the book as a whole, but the nature of the material itself will perhaps justify this. 19 paragraphs. This is also from the 50s. Recent light on the problem of the UFO. And, comments on the same, by Edward S. Schultz, Regional Director BSRA, the paragraphs. 1. It is true that a few human beings-Earthians, have entered disks and other aeroforms and have taken short rides in them. 2. No Earthian has traveled in an aeroform to distances beyond the gravitational and magnetic field of the Earth. No Earthian has visited the Moon, Mars, Venus, or any other planet while in his normal physical body. 3. No Earthian can make an interplanetary or true space flight in an aeroform while in his normal physical body. Such a flight would be possible provided his body were reconditioned prior to entering the aeroform. 4. This reconditioning would consist in a time, measured dosage of high frequencies produced by small electronic devices, and, 5. True space flight, even if achieved by a human under the protection mentioned, would result in amnesia and serious physical disorders. 6. Recurring to force supra, an aeroform at rest is enveloped by a field of supersonic frequencies, and an aeroform in flight gives off a field of ultrasonic frequencies. 7. Ultrasonic rates actually convert the aeroform, and the bodies of all persons inside of them, to waves of light. Aetherian beings in this condition retain full consciousness and full control of their ship, but no normal human can survive this conversion unless previously conditioned by time-measured dosage of high frequencies. Even if so protected, it is very doubtful whether he could return to normal Earth life, or survive for any considerable length of time. The conditioning affects the bloodstream and the bone marrow and prevents the blood from boiling. But in the end produces amnesia and hemorrhage. The subject conditioned would not necessarily be aware of what was being done. Ultrasonic frequencies loosen the cell structure but do not disintegrate the cells. 8. Traveling as a light wave, the Aetherian is able to control his light wave craft by mental energies and by the use of ultrasonic frequencies. 9. The speed of light in free space is without limit. In occupied space, planets and other bodies, light is affected by gravitational pressures.